We have another subject on love this morning. And this was how to love your children. How to love your children. We want to start in Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5. It says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." It says that children are a heritage of the Lord. These children are the Lord's. They're His reward. All children are the Lord's. They're on, so to speak, loan to us. And we have a great responsibility to God to raise these children the way that He would see fit and to truly love them. We need to love our children like the Lord loves us. We want it to be an agape love. Agape love is, I love you so much that I will do what is right for you all the time, regardless of how it feels. That's how God loves us. He will correct us. He will admonish us. He will, there will be different things that come our way. That's what God does to us for loving us. That's how He shows us His love. His love is that He is going to do what is right for you, regardless of how much it hurts you. That's the kind of agape love we need to have for our children. We do what is right for them, no matter how much it hurts us personally or them. This kind of love is not about emotion. It's not an emotional love. It's the kind of love that will do the right thing no matter what. So, these children all belong to God. We're going to talk this morning about how to truly love our children. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is it whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." I read this passage of Scripture because we all understand the chastening of the Lord. If we've lived for the Lord for any length of time, we understand the chastening of the Lord. We've all been rebuked by Him. We've all been spanked by Him. We've all been brought into a place where we have had to mend our ways before the Lord. And it says, "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." So it is out of His love that He does that. It's not done out of punishment. In other words, you have displeased me, so I'm going to punish you. It is done because it is the right thing to do, and it will lead me to a good place when I am chastised. And then it goes on to say that we've had followers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. We've all had, most of us anyway, have had our fathers in the picture, and we have had the chastening that came from our fathers. But we also know, all of us know, that there were times that the Father chastened us out of his own personal displeasure. And you know what I'm talking about. He got a little upset. And something that you may have done, the same kind of thing last week, he laughed at and said, don't do that again. And this week, you got a spanking for it. See, that was done out of his pleasure. He was so displeased that it pleased him to chasten you. But we still reverenced our fathers. And the Lord is telling us that he never does any of that. It's always done for our good. It's never done out of place. But I want to speak to the fact of fathers and the correction, parents in general, and the correction we give our children, that it has to be a consistent thing. It can't be done out of our anger, out of our frustration, out of our bad mood that day, out of what happened to us at work that day, out of what has already crossed me that day and put me in a mood to where I don't know how to lovingly correct my children. Because if there's one thing that children have, is they have a lot of complaints about how they were chastised. If you hear anything, you hear complaints about how they were chastised. Not the kind of complaints was where some people have, oh, I got spankings and you should never hit a child. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about they had complaints because it was dealt out unfairly, unreasonably at times, that it was done in the wrong spirit at times, and children can tell. If it's because you're already mad that you did this, or if it truly is something that they need to be corrected with. So we need to be careful in showing love to our children, and chastisement is love. We need to be careful that we are consistent, and that if we are irritable, if something has happened, if we're not quite in a good and reasonable place, it's not the time. It's not the time to deal with it. You can simply say, I'll deal with this in a little while. Or I'll talk to you about this tomorrow. Sometimes having some time to think about it, we get some insight into what has really happened and what has gone on, and we'll be able to handle it better, and we'll be able to handle it in such a way that the child has no way to get out from under it. And this is what I mean by get out from under it. Of course, we don't want to be punished. Of course, we don't want to be chastised. It doesn't bring a lot of pleasure. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to give them a reason not to accept the chastisement. You don't want them walking away saying, you know, they were this or they were that or they were already mad anyway. You know, so-and-so made them mad and I got the brunt of it. You know, you don't want to give them places like that. Because the enemy will take advantage. And he'll start talking to him. Tell him how bad you are. And you always do this. And start trying to get wet, put a wedge between you and your children. And it'll be your fault that it happens because you didn't show proper love. Does God do that to us? Does he just yank us up? Just yank us up. We do something wrong. Just yanks us up and chastises us right there in front of everybody. And no. He doesn't do that. Why? It wouldn't be profitable for one thing. We'd be thinking about everybody else around. You know, looking. No, he waits until we're calm. And then he says to us, you know what you did was wrong. And you're then by that time, you're the place where you go, I know. I shouldn't have done that. You know, and that's what you want to happen with your children also. Loving them, truly loving them, is correcting them consistently in the right kind of way, with the kind of judgment, a real sense of judgment. It's not enough to punish a child without being able to thoroughly explain why they are being punished. Thoroughly explain to them. Get them to understand it. Get them to know what that's expected of them in the future if they want to avoid it. It's only fair and reasonable. They need to know how to do their job. in the house. They need to know how to be children, how to be dear children in the house. And it's up to us to teach them that. And if we're all off kilter and some days this is okay and some days I'm going to go off the handle because of it, they're not going to have any clear understanding. And if we're so quick to yank them up and punish them and yet not be able to thoroughly explain why. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong here. There are some instances that an immediate something has to happen. There are those instances. But it should not be done in anger. If you are angry, you better wait. Because you're going to do it in the wrong way and they're going to take it the wrong way. But there are times that immediate action has to be taken. All right. Loving your children is doing what's right for them, not just what's right for you. Oh, we'd like to have these perfect little children that just march to a certain tune and they all just do their little things and they all just stay right in order and everything. That would be wonderful, but they are still children. They don't have the wisdom you have. They don't have the stick-to-itiveness that you have. They're easily distracted, easily pulled away to think of something in a different way. So these children that God has loaned to us, we have to bring them up in the correct way that they'll know how then to bring up children. And what happens out there in the world? There are many abusive parents. And those children, many, many times, more often than not, grow up to be abusers of their own children. Because that's what they were taught. You would think that they would say, oh no, this is how my father was, and I'm never going to do this. And there are a few that can do that. But most of the time, they grow up to do it. Because they never learned, the parents never learned to handle their anger and have self-control. So they never taught it to the children to have it. So they grow up and they're just as out of control as their parents were. And so they head down the same paths. All right, Proverbs 22:15. This is what we usually hear for children. It says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. The Lord's letting us know that corporal punishment is a good correction. In this life, where we are dealing in the flesh, the Lord doesn't use corporal punishment with us because we're not dealing in the flesh, we're dealing in the spirit. So, we're dealing in the flesh. So there is corporal punishment. And corporal punishment is especially good on children. Because it's something they don't forget. You know how they're easily distracted and they easily forget things and everything. Those kind of awakenings, they don't easily forget. So that's why he said that. And then in Proverbs 23:13-14, it says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Now, the word here is used beat. We have a connotation in our mind of beatings. We understand a little different than what the Lord is talking about here. He's talking about something that is severe and that they will remember. But he is not talking about something that leaves them battered and bruised and in bed for 3 days. You see what I'm saying? It's not the same. So that's what the Lord is trying to say. And he's trying to let parents know, don't be afraid to do it. But you know, so many times the parents don't want to. They don't want to do it. I can remember times when my children were little and I walked into a room and I saw something and I turned around and walked back out. They didn't see me. I didn't want them to see me because I was going to have to do something. And I couldn't do it right then. I just knew I couldn't. I was just going to have to address it at a later time. I didn't want to address it. I needed some help. I needed some strength. I needed what I needed to be able to follow through. All right. So, withholding punishment from the child, it says that you're delivering, if you withhold it, if you beat him, you're delivering his soul from hell. Don't you know that a child that is left to himself, it says in the scriptures, dishonors his mother. A child that is left to himself, and all, he will go out into society, and he will not be able to follow any of the rules. He won't be able to follow the rules at work, the rules on the highway, the rules of the government, the rules about paying taxes. He won't be able to follow any of the rules. You have to teach him to follow rules. That's the parent's job, to teach them to follow rules in the home. I remember many times my children would say to me, our friends don't have to do all of this. Well, their parents weren't raising them right. When you raise your children right, you teach them how to be responsible. And you're the one that has to do it. There's nobody else there. Nobody else is going to care about your children as much as you do. And if you don't care, what chance do they have? We see what chance they have by looking around in the world. We see them out there, children that have parents that aren't involved in the school things, aren't involved only in their own life, leave them with babysitters, sometimes just leave them home alone so they can go out and do their things. I mean, there have been children that have died because they were left in a car while the mother or father is sitting in the bar because they're doing their own thing. To love our children means that, my husband used to tell our children whenever they had would have a child, he would say, well, your life is over. And what he meant was, is that you can no longer think about you. It's not about you anymore. It's not about your wife anymore. It's all about this child that you two decided to bring into this world. And your life is over for the next 18 years. You have to do it all for them. You have to open up and let everything be done that is good for them. All those private little things I used to like to go and do and spend hours here or there or whatever, that's over. It's over. You've got children now. You've got to take care of them. And in the first years of their lives, they're very needy. You've got to be there all the time. All right. Psalm 78, 1 through 7. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and known. Our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. There are so many parents that are not loving their children, that are not teaching them anything about God. If you do not teach your children about God and do not help them to understand the responsibilities they have towards God and the heaven and the hell that God could either take them to or banish them to, if you do not teach them, how can you love them? How can you love them when you're willing to let them go and spend eternity in a devil's hell? Because I'm selfish. I want to party. I want to do this. I want to do that. and my children grow up knowing nothing about God, knowing nothing about that I have to live by restrictions and rules and things, be a better person in society. I don't have any of those things. God left his people with the understanding that they were to teach them about God, the praises of God, his strength, his wonderful works, not just his do's and don'ts. Do you understand? There's a difference here. It's not just about rules. It's not just about that. You just teach them the praises of God. Now, how are you going to teach them the praises of God if you have none in your heart yourself? If God is not first in your life, if you're not happy in him, if you're not satisfied in him, if you're not glowing with the praises of God for all that he's done in your life, how could you possibly help your children to see how wonderful he is if you don't have it? What about strength, his strength? If your children never see you in your weakness and see you depend on God to bring you through and come out on the other side and give God all the credit, if the children never see that, how will they know that God, that he has that kind of strength for you? How will he know his strength? Isn't it many, many times, any of those that have been raised by two true children of God, it's the things you saw them go through that convinced you there was really a God. That was really, it was real, because you saw them go through. You saw what happened. You saw their tears. You know, there are many, many parents that don't want to cry in front of their children. It's not wrong to cry in front of your children. It's just wrong to cry for the wrong thing in front of your children. To cry out to God and to ask for his strength, to cry because of the hardships that other people are going through, to show emotion, to show tenderness and kindness, that's always in order in front of children. You know, so many times they want to protect the children from this and protect them from that and all. And I understand many of those things. And I understand the even sometimes the parents knowing their own children, you need to know your own children. Knowing their own children say, you know, I'm not going to take them to this funeral. Because maybe you know the family, maybe you know what it's going to be like, maybe you know what's going to happen, maybe you know a lot of things, and your children just doesn't need. But to be in a glorious sending off our departed loved one to the Lord, and to be able to have happiness and songs and things that show them that death is not something to be afraid of, that you can be saved and then you can go on to heaven. And yes, we'll miss them, but oh, they're having such a good time there. You know, there are ways to talk about these things with our children so they won't be afraid. And it's not scary, so it won't be scary to be in a funeral. Instead of just keeping them away from all of that, they never face any hardship. They never see anything. They never see what life is all about. Life is all about death. At the end, all you have is death and where you're going to be. That's it. That's what life is all about. It's a getting ready place. But people want to say, oh no, this is the place where you do what you want. You want to, you know, you do this, you fulfill this desire and that desire and everything. And ooh, be afraid of the end. But if you teach them right, they don't have to be afraid. Love your children. Love them. Teach them the correct thing about death. Teach them the correct things. They're going to hear all the bad things about it from their friends and from different family members and this, that, and the other. But teach them the correct thing. Oh, it's just a crossing over place. We're saved and we just go on. And one breath later, we're in paradise and we're with the Lord and it'll be wonderful. And you teach them so that they're not afraid. How cruel is it to let your children be brought up being afraid of it? How cruel is that when they're going to face it? And some of them are going to face it as children. Some of them are going to get sick. Things are going to happen. And they're going to face it as it. How cruel is it to have never had a talk with them about what it means to die in the Lord? How cruel is that? And now all of a sudden they have a really dread disease and it's a sentence to death if the Lord doesn't heal them. And they're scared. Why would we do that to them? That is not love. Love is teaching them about life. And part of life is death. And we have to teach them those things. All right. Let's see. It says here. In the fourth verse. I read 1-7, correct? In the fourth verse. We will not hide them from our children. Won't hide them from our children. I'm going to tell you what we do. We hide honest emotions from our children. You know, when I'm feeling sad because grandma died, I go in the other room and I cry by myself because I don't want my children to see. But when we're angry, we say any manner of thing in front of our children. Or when something has displeased us at church, we say any manner of thing about our brother and sister in front of them. That's not loving your children. Amen. Because someday, if they're going to come to church, they're going to have to come with all these people here. They're going to have to know everybody that's here. And they're going to know them by what you say, not by what they see at church. Because they're not paying attention when they're children. They're not paying attention to the adults much. They pay attention to the other children. The only way they're going to know the adults is by what you say. So sometimes we'll hide our true emotions and things that they should see. But we won't hide the things they shouldn't see. Or the things they shouldn't know. We won't hide that. That's not loving your children. Amen. To let them hear all those manner of things. It says here. It says, for he established a testimony in Jacob. And appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers. That they should make them known to their children. Yeah. And then it goes on. And then generation to come might know them. Even the children which should be born. Why? That they might set their hope in God. And not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. That's why. That they might set their hope in God. Listen. Many of our children are going to go out there and try the world. But don't you want them to have a hope that they can have a hold of, that they can come and get away? Don't you want them to have an escape? Don't you want them to have a hope of something that is they can come back to? Don't you want them when they're out there in despair and laying on their bed someplace and crying and don't know what to do? Don't you want a hope to spring up in them that I'll go back to Father's house? That's where they loved me. That's where they took care of me. I'll go back there. Don't you want them to have that hope? You're going to have to instill it in them. Amen. For them to come back, you're going to have to instill it. They're going to have to see your glorious place with the Lord. The way you cope. The way you do. All right. Deuteronomy says some of the same things. Deuteronomy 18 through 21. Therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them with a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. This is to parents, to your parents here. Let's get established. Let's grow up in the Lord. Let's do what is right. Let's not hang on to childish things. Let's not keep a hold of all those things that are still childish. Teach our children to be childish. And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. What does that mean? We understand what it means to talk about the Lord all the time. In every situation, bring the Lord into it. Before they go to bed at night, there should be something about the Lord. When they get up in the morning, there should be something about the Lord. Throughout the day, in everything that is done, we should be glorifying God. We should be looking to God. If we do that, they'll learn to do that. If we don't do that, they will learn not to do that. If they never hear you pray, they never hear you call on the Lord, you do all your praying off in your room by yourself, they're not going to learn. They need to be involved. Family worship is a very important part of bringing up children. If you love your children, you're going to teach them about God. You're going to teach them what is right. They're going to teach them what is wrong, what the Bible says is right and wrong, not just what they think or what their peers think or what other people's parents think is right or wrong. And they say, well, that really doesn't matter, or this doesn't matter. No, you have to teach them what thus saith the Lord so that they will have it. And then it says that right upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. You better live what you're telling. In other words, if I'm saying you can't do this, you can't do, I better not be doing it myself inside my own home. I better not be saying we can't do this and we can't do that, and then I bring something similar to it right back into my own home. My home then is not a place where the writings of God are upon the doorposts, where his teachings are upon the doorposts. When you come in here, you're not going to find the world. You're not going to find it here. You're going to find peace and comfort. You're going to find the wholesomeness. You're going to find things that God is pleased with. You're not going to find things that are going to tempt you and divert your attention and draw you away and take up your time. How are our doorposts? What do we let in? There are many, many people let a lot of things in their home. And what do? You can only do this an hour. Why? If it's good, why not let them do it all day? Why only limit them to an hour? What do parents find out? It starts being addictive. It's addictive. They want to do it all the time and everything. They brought it in. They let it happen. It's addictive. They can't hardly get them to do anything else but this. And so they say, well, now only an hour. Our doorposts, our homes, need to be a haven for godly things, for a rest from all the stuff that's out there in the world. It needs to be a peaceful place. A place where a lot of things that they would do somewhere else, they can't do here. Even after they're adults. Even after they're adults. And what about grandparents? It doesn't matter what their mom and dad says that they can do. It's your house. You don't have to let anything happen in your house that you don't want to happen. This is your home. And no doubt those parents were raised under certain kinds of rules and beliefs. They know what you believe, and yet they're going to drag all their paraphernalia into your house and say, well, now we're going to set them up here doing this, and we're going to set them up over there doing that, and it's something you never let your children do at all. We have a responsibility for the doorposts of our house, what we allow in our house. We need to understand that, okay? Titus 2, 4 through 8. Loving, we're talking about loving our children. Not letting them get all tied up in habits and forming habits and forming loves for things that are only going to be detrimental to them later on. Things that they're going to have to give up later on. Habits they're going to have to break later on. Why do you want to do that to them? Titus 2, 4 through 8. that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. The word of God be not blasphemed. We're talking to the women here, talking to the young mothers. The older women are supposed to teach them. You wouldn't think you'd have to teach anybody how to love their children, would you? But you do. You do. You do. Because young mothers think that everything that their little child does is so cute. And we as grandmothers, what do we see? Oh, we see something developing, don't we? We've been there, see, we've done that. We understand. And so we give a little word of caution here and there. I wouldn't let them, you know, do that. Or you shouldn't let them do that. Or, you know, you try to give them a little bit. You don't want to say too much, of course, because we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to seem overbearing. But the truth is we see something. And we know what it leads to. We've been there. We know. And so we're to teach to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. If a child grows up seeing a woman that is totally disobedient to her husband, and you know what I mean by obedient, I am not talking abusive obedience. I am talking about a good husband that is a good provider, but he puts his foot down about something. Maybe you don't agree. But he puts his foot down. And so you just go behind his back and do this or that with the children anyway because you think it's okay or what. You can't do that. And if the children see you doing that, it breaks down the discipline in the home. It breaks down the respect in the home. And that's how they're going to do. They're learning from you. They're going to learn it from you. It says young men likewise in this, being discreet, chaste, good, obedient to their God. Obedient to their God. Not doing those things that they know, this isn't a good thing to do. It says, sober-minded, exhort to be sober-minded. In other words, putting away childish things. Putting away childish things. Become a man. Do manly things. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Parents should be a pattern of good works. Your children should be able to safely trust in you. And doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech. They never hear me say something that I have to come back and say, well, you know, Mommy was just upset or Daddy was just upset. I didn't mean what I said. That shouldn't happen very often. Because you're supposed to have some control. You're supposed to be teaching them control. Otherwise, they're going to be saying those same kind of things. And they're going to be kicked out of school for bullying. Because they learned it at home. It's what you do. It's how you talk. It's what you say to other people. And then you come back and say, oh, I'm sorry. But they don't get a chance to go back to the school and say, I'm sorry. They're just out now. If we love our children, see, loving your children is you being obedient to God. It's you learning how to control yourself. It's you learning how. The way you learn to be a good parent is you start by being a good child of God. A good child, good, obedient, respectful child of God will teach you how to be a good parent. All right. Proverbs 31 talks about a woman here, the virtuous woman. In 25 through 28, it says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. In other words, if I am doing what I should be doing, my children are going to call me blessed. They may not say it to my face, but to other people, they're going to say, my mom was a good mom. She taught me right. I'm not doing right, but she taught me right. So, she says she opens her mouth with wisdom. In other words, I don't just say everything that comes to my mind. If I'm a person given to saying everything that comes to my mind, I'm teaching my children that that's okay. Say anything that comes to your mind. Just fix it later. Do you know there's sometimes things can't be fixed? It says, looketh well to the ways of her household, is not idle. In other words, not lazy. There are many, many mothers out there that make the children do all the work. That make them do this and that and here and there. They don't get up and lift a finger and work with them. Listen, if you want your children to learn how to do it right, you work with them. You work with them. One of the things that was one of my weaknesses when I was a young mother is I didn't work with them. I gave them chores, but I didn't work with them. Yeah. All right. Ephesians 6:1-4. Now this is for the children. All the children, pay attention. This is your favorite verse, children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You have all grown up saying that. Some of you are still saying it. When you ever can't think of a verse, this is the one you say. It has been drilled into your head. But this is what I would like you to do. I would like you to learn the next three verses that go with it. Because the next three verses is what you really need to know. It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. There's a promise that goes along with honoring our father and mother. Honor. Showing honor. Not just doing it grudgingly, walking away, stomping, slamming a door, doing whatever. But honor. Showing respect. And this is why. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Do you know there's a promise? Honoring our parents, our mother and father, there's a promise that goes along with that. This is the promise, that thou mayest live long on the earth. In other words, how many people have you known? I have known many, many teenagers through my day and all my children going through high school that dishonored their parents, snuck out of the house, went and did something, and lost their life that night. That you may live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your... Okay, so the 2 and 3 are what the children need to learn. This is the one the fathers need to learn. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. See, sometimes the mother is usually softer, not always. The father is usually harsher, not always. But the warning to the fathers is be careful that you don't cause them wrath in your children. In other words, you don't make them ready to fight. Yeah. Most children have never picked up their fists and went to their moms. But some of them have done it to their dads. Why is that? Fathers have to have some real love for their children. That when their children stand up in their face and say things or whatever, that you're careful not to put them in their place. But you meekly instruct them like God does you. Does God just put you in your place? You're doing your own thing, not paying attention to God, not doing what He said. And then does He just put you in your place? No. But there is something in fathers that wants to say, oh, you're not going to stand in my face and do that. And you can provoke your children to wrath, to where they will want to fight you. You hardly ever hear of a child fighting their mother. I was at my daughter's, and they were doing the news was on, and it was during one of the riots or something that was going on, and some mother had her boy by his ear, dragging him out of there. Did you see that boy resisting? Did you see that boy fighting her? Did you see him standing in her face or anything? No, he was being drugged by the ear. But I'm going to tell you what would have happened if his dad would have done that. It had been fighting words. You see what I'm saying? So the fathers have to be careful not to incite wrath in the children. Be careful. All right. Oh, Lord. Try to do this quickly. Ephesians 4:14-15. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things which is the head, even Christ. This is to parents. If you love your children, you will grow up. Quit being tossed to and fro. Quit thinking, you know, well, yeah, I really should do this better, but I'm not putting much effort into changing it. I really know I should give this up, but I haven't done it yet. I'm waiting for the Lord to give me a special sign, a special gumption, a special something that I can do it. But your children are watching. Your children are watching you. They're going to treat God just like you do. If they know the teaching, if they see the teaching, if they understand the teaching of what needs to be done and said and all, if they know it, then, and they see you disobedient to it, what are they going to be? Disobedient to it. That's what they're going to be. They're going to watch you and do what you do. 2 Corinthians 12:14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will be burdensome. I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Now we know this is talking about spiritual things, but he's using an earthly saying. There are way too many parents in this world that are living off their children. Living off their children. Because of their bad choices in life. Because of where they went in life. Because of what they did in life. They're living off their children. The children are out there holding down a job and maybe even going to school and everything. And they have a parent laying around in the house that can't work because they've been on and off of drugs for years. Living off the children. It ought not to be that way ever. You should be able to live such a life that you are storing up for the children. You're helping them in their days of need. You're helping them with a little bit of help here and there throughout their life. Not that they go out and they do everything right. You've done everything wrong. And now you expect them to take care of you. And I'm your mother. I'm your father. You know, you should have respect. You should take care of me. There are people out there that demand this of their children. That they pay their rent. They don't, I don't want to live with you. I don't want to take that extra bedroom. I don't want to live in this little space. I deserve a house. You need to pay my rent. You need to pay for my house. These things are going on. It should not be. We should be storing up for our children. Not them taking care of us. And I'm not talking about old age, and you know I'm not. Okay, Luke 11:13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give Holy Spirit unto them that ask him? So if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children.
Yes.
All right, even the bad parents out there in the world sometimes give the children good gifts.
That's so.
But they're not giving them the real gift that they need. They're not giving them the love that they need. Because they're not teaching them about God. They're not teaching them responsibility. They're not showing them faithfulness in the marriage. They're not showing them that you don't get divorced. They're not showing them how to be kind and loving to a husband or a wife. They're not showing them how to be responsible and do all the things you're supposed to do. They're not caring about their schooling. And so they're out there not making good grades, dropping out of school. The dropout rate is very, very high. Why? Because the parents aren't involved. They're just not involved. Keeping your promises, teaching them to work hard.
Yes.
Are those the good gifts you're giving? Or is it just about a big fancy present on their birthday? Something, some nice thing at Christmas. And the rest of the time, you're almost letting them live their own lives and grow up themselves and raise themselves. No, to love your children. You teach them all these responsible things. They leave your house with skills. They know how to take care of themselves. They know how to iron and wash their clothes. They know how to take care of a house. They know how to clean and do those things. They know how to help somebody even when they're sick.
Yeah.
They know how to do that. Why? Because when one of you was sick, you let the child help do some of the stuff. You know, go get dad, you know, a glass of juice and make sure he has water by the bed and make sure this and make sure that. You see what I'm saying? You teach them. Are those the good gifts we're giving? Or is it just a present? Just a present. Just words. The good gifts, the most important gift is to teach them about God. The most important thing you can do for your children is teach them about God. But first, you have to be living all the way in to God. You can't withhold parts of your life. You can't put things off. You've got to be diligent. You've got to be living like you're supposed to every day, gaining ground every day. You can't get stagnant because that's what they'll think salvation is. You get saved and then don't worry about anything. Now there's a warning. Matthew 18:3-6. Last scripture. And said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." This is Jesus talking and he's got the little children up next to him. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." And then it says, "But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believeth in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Now we know that there's much spiritual connotation here, but I want to talk to it on a level that as parents, offending our children. And I'm not talking about hurting their feelings. I'm talking about making it very hard for them to give in to the Lord. Making life hard for them because I'm so selfish, I don't want to live with their mother anymore. You know, then there are offenses born in the child. And those children go out and they have a disadvantage in life. Sometimes the sons go out there and feel like they can't trust anybody, any man, anywhere. The women go out looking for love in all the wrong places because their father wasn't there. You know what I'm talking about here. These are offenses that children get when they're little. The unfairness of it. The fact that you use anger when you punish them. They go out, they are offended. They are hurt. They are hindered in their life. They don't have a good understanding of what a true, loving household should be like. Those are offenses they carry. And you're responsible. You are responsible. And the Lord said, it'd be better if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were drowned in the sea. It would be better. We have such a great responsibility as parents for our children to love them. And loving them means that I cease to love myself. I cease to love myself. They are who I love. I give myself for them. Just like Jesus gave himself for me, I give myself for my children. I do that. I'm not selfish. Still trying to live my own life while I've got children there and they're suffering and needing my attention. But I'm too busy living my own life. I've got my own friends. I've got things I have to do, places I want to go, and you all just stay here. Lord, help us to truly love our children.
Amen. Dancing 253.